From Bregman MD, where we're all about psych solutions, I'm your host, Linda Corley, and this is The Breakdown with Dr. B. Well, this should be an exciting podcast because we have a lot of emotion going on this time, and we actually have a special guest, our director, Joel Kaplan. We've invited him because he's a huge sports fan, a Heat fan, as well as Dr. Bregman. And this podcast was inspired by an event that happened last night. It was the Heat versus the Celtics, which was going to be the determining game. And in the last 1/10 of a second, I believe, the Celtics pulled the game out, and it was an upset and a shock. And I just, as a girl, don't understand how people can get that dramatic, meaning the fans, over team sports. So today, Dr. B and Joel, you're going to pick apart the whole psychology behind male team sports, because I don't get it. And I'm sure there's a lot of ladies out there that are a little baffled by the whole emotional, dramatic ups and downs of following sports. So let's take it apart. Dr. B and Joel, what happened last night?
I went to the game.
So you were there.
So I was there. And
wow,
it was the most exhilarating atmosphere. You know, a lot of sports we watch on TV, and, you know, we say, hey, we'll stay home, watch on TV. But there's nothing like being in a stadium where people are just out of control, crazy about their team.
And there's something about the energy being contagious, like a literally thick mood that I'm sure you could almost see. You're right. It's contagious. It feeds on itself.
You know, they did something this year along the lines you're talking about, is they shut the lights out more often than usual now, and everybody has the lights on their cell phones on. So you see this whole place lit up with people's cell phones, which is quite different. You know, everybody feels something together.
Right. It reminds me of almost the days of the concerts back in the 70s when the bands would be up there, and as an applause, you would raise your lighter and you'd see all these brilliant, beautiful flames. Anyway, Joel, you stayed at home, but that didn't stop you from getting up and cheering and booing and all of that. I'm sure you did.
Oh, you know it. This game was, I felt, a must win for the Heat, because it's the first team that gets to four wins moves on to the championship round. And the Heat won the first three, and then they lost the next two. And I felt like if the Heat didn't win last night, then they have to go play the final game 7 in Boston, and that would be ugly. That'd be really hard. So it was so invigorating to watch the Heat struggle throughout the game last night. They were constantly clawing their way up, trying to come up and catch up to Boston, who was always leading by a few points. And then finally, in the very last seconds, we get the opportunity to go up by 1 point, which we did. And there was only 3 seconds left on the clock when Boston got the ball. You figure, wow, this is it. We are going to win. And the excitement and the emotion, and it just, you get so worked up and you're thinking, this is it. We're going to be the champions of the East. And you can't wait for the trophy to be hoisted in a few minutes. And then with only a couple of seconds left, there was a miracle putback shot by a Boston player. And with 1/10 of a second before the buzzer went, they got a point. They got the 2 points and they won the game by 1 point. It was such an exhilarating high to such a devastating low in an instant. And I can only imagine what, you know, the players felt. But you know what? I think fans feel almost as devastated as the players, because we get so invested in this. And honestly, you know, I don't know the psychology behind it, but we want to root for our team. And I think that they represent our community, and we want our community to look good on TV and to show up the other cities that we're the best. I don't know, Doc, what do you think about
this? Yeah, this is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, totally. So, Doctor, pick this apart for us. Why do people get so passionate and so upset? I mean, it's really just a game.
No, but, you know, it really isn't. And you could hear by Joel, and maybe my voice too, what's left of it. There's like a romantic relationship with your sports team. And science, it even goes further, and it can even affect your body weight. In other words, it's like a huge emotional experience, you know, for people. And I think we'd like to get into a little bit of some of the brain chemistry that is changed. First of all, there's testosterone, among other things. We all hear about it, and it, you know, can cause aggressive behavior. This is why you see so much aggression at the game, especially with alcohol. That's why they have riots, too, at these games. Then there's, like, the rush of pleasure, okay? Like dopamine surges, okay? Your favorite team, favorite athlete, okay? That's a neurotransmitter, dopamine, and it helps control the brain's reward and pleasure centers. So it helps regulate our emotions. When we were watching a game, we got our testosterone going. We have a rush of pleasure, you know, that's happening. And then something happens with what we call mirror neurons. It helps other people put themselves in another person's shoes. You know, they feel that kind of empathy. And then when you watch these sports fans, they internalize the actions as if they're actually playing. I mean, so it's really a great emotional experience. So in other words, you could see that there's a lot of neurotransmitter and other types of hormones that are involved in people watching sports.
Here's the big question that I really would love answered, and I did a little research, is why is team sports, following it so feverishly, more of a male-dominated thing, right? I mean, it's not just, like I said, it's not to say women don't love sports, but men are crazy about it. The T-shirts, the hats, the flags on the car, feeling so one with one team, and not always necessarily the team of their town, but maybe the team of where they grew up. I read something that it goes way, way back in time, that men are always looking for that leader, right? And team sports, you know, are representative of following the leader, right? Men are competitive. Now, that's just a theory that maybe that is why they love those team sports. Dr. B, any thought on this?
One thing is, you know, men traditionally, you know, we come from the forest, and the guys that go out hunting and they compete with each other, but the women stayed back with the children and they weren't competing. You know, they were taking care of the family. So it was ingrained, you know, from the beginning about competition and, you know, who's going to get the bigger one and stuff. So it's right there. It's always been there. And then it's like being a part of a pack, you know, that, you want, who's the leader of the pack? And who then translates that into their community or their profession and how they get ahead and how they fit in? So I think there's something so important about having sports. And if the guy's always talking about sports, and if you don't talk about sports at times, you could be really on the outside.
Right. It's a bonding tool, and it's how people make friendships. It's very social beyond just sitting in the stands. You know, there's the parties that precede and all of that. So it's There are a lot of upsides. So Joel and Dr. B, I want to talk about the upsides of competitive sports and team watching that we could teach our children, why the world brings their kids at a young age to a football game. What are we teaching our kids? What do we want them to glean from, say, good sportsmanship?
Well, I have some thoughts on that. Certainly in team sports, you're learning to work together. And that's so important in business, in anything, right? In relationships, in our military. I mean, it's all about working together as a team. Everyone has their place. Everybody has their function. And, you know, it's just amazing that you think how far back sports goes. I mean, it's thousands of years. You hear about the Greeks in the Olympics. It's even talked about in the Bible about fighting the good fight and staying the course. So sports has been with us for thousands and thousands of years.
You know, along with what you're saying, Joel, you know, it just seems to be endemic in any culture, you know, that you know, there is sports, and it kind of is a way to actualize, you know, being out there the way we were when we were in the fields. And it really is a way, I think, you know, for humans, you know, to really connect the guys. If you hang around a lot, they're always going to bring up sports. Joel, you found that too?
You know, that's a really good point, Doc, and some of the things that we don't necessarily always think about. But what a great opportunity for men to bond. You know, this is where the guys get together rooting for the same team, and they're buddies and their pals. That is a great way to bond. Yeah.
So we all like going, you know, with our friends and doing high fives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it is important, though, at the end of the day, to remember that it is just a game, because I last night at that last quarter of a second, you know, ending that was devastating, a devastating loss for my team. I got up, you know, worked up, I got upset like all good sports fans would. And it took me a good 20 minutes to kind of talk myself off the ledge and remind myself, hey, you know what? This is a game I enjoy watching. But it's just a game. It's not going to change my life that my team lost. I'm still grateful for you know, my life and my family and living in America and all those great things that we have. So I had to talk myself off the ledge, and it was good, because I might not have slept last night if I didn't do that. I did calm myself down. I self-soothed.
When your team really disappoints you and you are suffering from the agony of defeat, what are some tips to, like as Joel said, come off the ledge?
You know, I looked at ESPN and they had interviews by Spoelstra and Butler. The theme was that in the agony of defeat, they both said the same thing. We lost plenty this year. We're going to be the way we were when we just came back. We're going to win game 7. They got a very positive attitude. And I'm like, Joel, I'm like, I want to move on, you know, and I want to think about Monday night.
I guess what you're saying is always know that tomorrow is a new day and anything can happen. So there's still hope. Keep up the hope, right, guys?
I got the hope.
Me too.
Okay. Yay. Well, thank you for joining us, and may your team win.
Thanks. Go Heat. Take care.
Go Heat.
Ready.
From Bregman MD, you've been listening to the latest episode of The Breakdown with Dr. B. If you'd like more information or to speak to one of our top psychiatrists, just head to our website at BregmanMD.com to book a telepsychiatry visit from the comfort of your home. Hope you've enjoyed our latest podcast. Catch you next time.